This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com coming to you on this 16th day of October 2010 here in Japan. And it's the 15th day of October 2010 in Canada, where I'm joined on the line by Dan Dix, the man behind PressForTruth.ca, and also the man behind the great new documentary United We Fall, which was just released as a bonus episode of The Corbett Report. So you can download the audio from The Corbett Report and, of course, go to PressForTruth.ca to purchase a DVD copy of this film. Dan Dix, it's great to have you on the program again today. Thank you for joining me.
Well, thank you, thank you for having me on.
Well, let's first start talking a little bit about yourself and your background and how you got involved with Press for Truth and what kind of work you've been doing over there.
Sure. I'll take you back to the beginning, pretty much. I got into this movement back in 1998. When I was in school at the time, a friend of mine back then had told me about chemtrails. Now, at the time, I thought he was kind of crazy. You know, I looked at it as a ridiculous conspiracy theory because he was suggesting that it was the government doing this for nefarious purposes. But then when I started to actually look into it, my research basically expanded into all sorts of different areas. Down the rabbit hole I went, as they say, and I researched many things for a few years, up until about 2002 or so, when I really felt that it was time to get active. I mean, there's only so much research you can do until you get to the point where you begin to feel that, you know, I need to do something about this. So around that time, I started burning copies of documentary films that I felt were important, and handing out, you know, thousands of DVDs to friends, families, people, you know, I didn't know at all. And I did that for a few years and then eventually got to the point where I wanted to take it to the next level and take it up a notch. So in 2006, when I went to cover the Bilderberg meeting in Ottawa, is the first time I brought along a camera with me. And from there, I was hooked. I knew this is what I want to do. I knew I wanted to document more events like this that mainstream media is just simply not willing to do. So it was around that time that I got the idea to start Press for Truth. I thought it would be a good idea to have an alternative media outlet based here in Toronto so we can cover these various issues. So over the years, I met a lot of people, and now Press for Truth is basically the core of it is myself, Stephen Davies, and Brian Law. And together, the three of us make a pretty solid team. We cover a lot of issues. We make a lot of videos. We've made a couple documentary films now. And that's how Press for Truth came about.
Well, that's an excellent and inspiring story, because I think it resonates with my story and a lot of other people's. Just getting to that point in your research where you have to start spreading the information, and Why not become the media instead of fighting the media? So absolutely, that's a great story to connect with. And you have been doing just incredible work over the years, and starting with that Bilderberg coverage that you did, and some of that footage actually makes it into United We Fall. So tell us about some of the other things that you've covered before the United We Fall documentary.
Yeah, sure. I'll take you back into how I got into making documentary films. In 2007... I wanted to go cover the SPP summit that was taking place in Montebello, Quebec. I went there. A friend of mine, Stephen Davies, also went and covered that event. And it was shortly after we got back to Toronto, and we were looking at my footage, we were looking at Steve's footage. We saw the footage of the provocateur incident that happened, and we thought to ourselves, you know what, we have a film here. So we didn't go to Montebello with the intention of making a film. I just knew I wanted to cover it. I didn't even know what I was going to do with the coverage. I just knew I wanted to do it. But when we got back, we said, you know what, we got something here. So we put together The Nation's Deathbed was the first film that I worked on. From there, it was shortly after the release of The Nation's Deathbed that I met Brian Law. He contacted me and wanted to work with me, so I had a little meeting with him, and we decided to embark on a journey to make a new film about the North American Union. That was back in 2008. We started working on that, and it's been 2 years in the making, that film, We just released it on Canada Day about 3 months ago now, and it's moving along rather well.
It certainly is, and deservedly so, because for people who haven't yet seen it, I highly encourage that they do, because the production values itself is just so incredible. It's really, really a well-produced, well-directed documentary. So I'm assuming that one or both of you have some kind of background in film or media.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I don't have any real formal training in this thing. I basically dove in headfirst, just kind of started learning as I went along with the website, with the videos, with everything. I didn't really know much about this stuff. I just kind of dove headfirst in and started trying to do it all.
That's incredible, and that's another inspiring story for people out there who may be in a similar position. Like myself, when I started doing this, I had absolutely no idea how to do any of this, so it's all self-taught. So again, that's extremely inspiring, especially considering the incredible production values of United We Fall. But not only that, but of course you have sit-down interviews with some of the top globalist think tank leaders and people who are writing the white papers on creating the North American Union. How did you manage to secure those interviews?
We would just ask these people if they would want to speak to us. We would email them and basically just, you know, massage their egos a little bit, basically. We would say, I've read all your books, I've read your documents, we're very interested in speaking with you about your views of deeper integration between the three countries. We would never use words like North American Union. We knew that might scare them off from wanting to speak to us. Another thing that we knew we had to do was to keep my name out of the emails, because we figured they're going to do background checks. And I had already made a film on this topic. I had my website and YouTube channel at the time, so we knew we'd have to do that. Funny little story. There was one guy we wanted to interview, Thomas DeQuino. He is was at the time the head of the Canadian Council of Chief Executives. This is a group of, it's basically 150 of Canada's top corporations are part of this thing called the CCCE, all the presidents, and he was the president of that. So we had an interview lined up with him. I wasn't able to attend this particular one, so Brian drove down to Ottawa to interview him. And about 5 minutes before the interview, he gets a call from their secretary saying, unfortunately, Mr. DeQuino will not be able to speak with you guys today. So since he was only 5 minutes away, he went in to see what was up. He said, you know, we have all this gear that we rented. We drove all this way. What's the problem? And the guy looked at him and said, we found out that you're working with a guy named Dan Dix, who made a film called The Nation's Deathbed, and has a website where he talks about conspiracy theories and this and that, and there is no way we're going to let our boss talk to you. Of all the people that we contacted, one guy, Thomas DeQuino, kind of, I guess you could say, figured out the angle we were coming from. But everybody else, went for it. Once we got the first one, was Herbert Grubel, the father of the Amaro. All the other ones just sort of fell in place. Robert Pastor, Alan Gottlieb, John Manley. When they saw, you know, they said, oh, you've spoken with those guys? Sure, I'll talk to you. So once we got one, it was easy to get the rest.
All right, so you just got to get the ball rolling. And unfortunately, subterfuge might be the best way to do that, because these people don't want to talk about their real agenda on camera to people who know what their real agenda is. So that should speak volumes to people out there in and of itself. But in the creation of the film, did you come across any information or anything that truly surprised you, or that you learnt while making the film?
Not a whole lot. The thing that I think is interesting about the film is the doublespeak going on. You will see a lot of these guys who basically brush it off as conspiracy theory when we ask them about the secret meetings, the secret deals, and this and that. They brush it off as conspiracy theory. But then, you know, the very next minute, they lay it all out for you about this is how we're doing it. We don't like the concept of sovereignty. We think we need to join together. So I think that's a very interesting thing about the film, and especially with talking to these guys who are really, you know, in the major leaders in the push for this thing.
That's right. And of course, you also balance that out with views from the other side, so to speak, with people like Richard Serrett. Tell us about some of the people that you interviewed who are against this agenda.
Sure, yeah. I mean, when we originally, 2 years ago, sat down, we wrote a list of people we would like to ideally interview. We had a pro side and a con side, people who were for the NAU, wanted to create it, and people who were against it. And we got just about everybody we wanted to speak to. On the side of people against it, Richard Serrett is a very well-researched individual, and we were very happy to speak with him. Of course, we spoke with Luke Radowski of We Are Change. We traveled down to New York to meet up with him, and he, of course, gave us an excellent interview. He provided us with the footage where he confronted people like Vincente Fox about the North American Union, so that was awesome. And we also spoke to people in Toronto, locals around here who are really involved in the fight for this thing, like Vijay Sarma and, a number of other people around here. So I felt the film was well-balanced in that sense. That's why the subtitle of the film is Three Nations, Two Sides, One Union. So we didn't want to make a biased film. Obviously, we have an opinion. We are trying to convey our ideas of this thing, but we felt we gave the globalists, if you will, a fair chance to explain their side of it.
That's right, and I think that does come across in the documentary. You do get the sense that there is the opportunity for these people to explain their agenda in their own words, and people can decide for themselves, but I think it's quite obvious which way myself and I'm sure most of my listeners will go once they actually see the documentary. So once again, I highly recommend that people go and purchase a copy of the DVD to support the filmmaker and to support the work. But let's talk a little bit about the North American Union. For people who don't know really what this agenda is or how it's been started or how it's being propelled, let's talk a little bit about the history of this idea.
Sure. I mean, the North American Union, you can basically look at the European Union as a blueprint for this thing. It's very similar to what happened over there with all their countries coming together into a union, even adopting a common currency called the Amero. That's a good place to start when you want to learn about the North American Union. The other important thing to understand is that these things are done incrementally. And the way they've been doing it is through various trade deals. So we felt it was important to document the various trade deals chronologically, starting as far back as the late 40s with the General Agreement on Trade and Tariffs. From there, we go on to the Free Trade Agreement and then the North American Free Trade Agreement, which was followed by the SPP. An interesting point, too, is that Alan Gottlieb, we spoke with, I also confronted John Kretchen and Paul Martin. Now, all three of these guys sat around the same table at a Bilderberg meeting in 1996. Now, Alan Gottlieb was instrumental in the signing of the FTA. Of course, Kretchen was involved with NAFTA and Paul Martin with the SPP. And all these guys attended the same meeting, the Bilderberg meeting in 1996. So it's clear that there is an agenda to form this thing through these various trade deals, and they're doing it incrementally. That's how they can get away with doing it, because at this point, a North American Union is the centralization of power into fewer hands, and nobody around here is going to go for that right now. People around here are going to say, why would we do that? None of us want this, and that's true. Nobody wants that at this point, but they manipulate the masses into believing that they do want it by using various techniques like problem, reaction, solution, or order out of chaos. And we bring that up in the film because we thought that was an important point to make, that this is often how they achieve getting these things, is by putting the people in some sort of a fear state, by orchestrating some sort of an attack, and then offering the solution to this problem, and seems to be that's how they're going to go about getting this North American Union.
Well, we can certainly see that in the economic collapse. There's calls for greater monetary integration between not just North American economies, but economies all around the globe. And we have also seen, obviously, how spectacular terror attacks can have that effect. And if I can't recall off the top of my head who said it, but I remember someone said that after the next 9/11 type attack in North America, then the borders would have to come down in order to secure the continent. So we see how that agenda works and how it moves forward. So on the positive side of fighting against that agenda, what do you suggest for people out there to try to spread the word about this and to try to actually stop the agenda from taking place?
Well, I still think that we're in a stage now where awareness is really extremely important. There's simply just not enough people who know that there is a problem in the first place. So right now, my focus has been on spreading the word about this agenda through making documentary films and videos for YouTube, because I feel that is one of the most important things right now, because there's just simply not enough people who are aware that this is going on. But beyond that, beyond just awareness, there's many, many things you can do on a grassroots level to get involved. Join up with like-minded people in your area. You can find certain groups on the meetup.com, or you can look around on Facebook groups and meet like-minded people. Get out there in the streets. Find out who your MP is in your local area and try to contact them. Try to get to know them. On a personal level, and that's where real change happens, is on the grassroots level.
It certainly is. I mean, that's absolutely an extremely important part. We have to start forming the grassroots community type organizations that will eventually have an effect by combining together, because the people do outnumber the oligarchs that are trying to run the system and to centralize control into their own hands. So once again, it's important also to support independent filmmakers like yourself and people who are out there on the front lines, you know, making valuable documentaries and other things that we can consume. So can you please tell us a little bit about your website?
Yeah, sure. My website is pressfortruth.ca. You can see all of our, you know, work there. We post it all there. We do release the films for free online. And, you know, it's always been about getting the information out. That's all it's ever been about. But, of course, we would like to recoup our costs. That's why we give the option of purchasing the DVD. And we went all out on this disc. We have deleted scenes, stuff that just simply there was no time to put it in the film. Behind-the-scenes stuff, the making of the film. We did a producer and director commentary track that you could watch. I wrote and played all the music and all the sounds that you hear in the whole film, and Brian made a special behind-the-music featurette of how we did all that stuff. So we tried to make the DVD, make it worthwhile for you to get. But when you do get the DVD, we fully, fully encourage you to make copies, make as many copies as you want, and hand them out to your friends, family, total strangers. We fully encourage that. It's all about getting the word out.
Well, that's excellent, because it is such a valuable tool for waking people up about the North American Union and the real agenda that's going on here. So I again, highly encourage people to do that. So that's excellent. Well, I guess the inevitable wrap-up question for an interview like this, what's next for Dan Dix and Press for Truth?
Well, we've been working very hard lately in the last couple months on a new film about the police and about what took place here during the G20. I'm sure, you know, a lot of your listeners and viewers, I'm sure, have seen a lot of the clips online, maybe YouTube. So we're working very hard on putting together a documentary film to try to get to the bottom of what happened that weekend. We had around 7 or 8 camera guys helping us film. We got a lot of footage to get through. When we started, you know, when we embarked on this project, it seemed a little bit overwhelming at first. But we're certainly getting through it, and we hope to have that out as soon as possible. So people can stay tuned to pressfortruth.ca, or of course my YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/weavingspider. I'm sure we'll have some trailers up for it soon, and we're going to get that one out as soon as we can, James.
I hope so. I mean, I am literally on the edge of my seat for that one, because it's just such an important thing to understand what happened there in Toronto recently. It was not only for Canadians like yourself and myself, but for people all around the globe who want to see the the police state takeover happening. I mean, that was just such a in-your-face example of it, and I'm very much looking forward to it, because I'm sure that my listeners have checked into the footage that you took and put on your YouTube channel about the G20, so I'm definitely looking forward to that and very excited about that. So once again, I'm looking forward to pressfortruth.ca and all of the work that you're doing there. So Dan Dix, thank you once again for joining me on the Corbett Report.
Well, thank you very much for having me on, man, and you keep up the great work, too.